John Wesley made this statement: God has made all things to depend upon faith, so that he who has faith will have everything, and he who is lacking in faith will do without. When we come to John chapter 20, this passage, it's the choice that every one of us have. Will we be people who live by faith, or will we be people who live by doubt and fear? And when we look at this man, the disciple by the name of Thomas, he was one of those that had a no mentality. He was a skeptic. He was a cynic. He always saw the glass as half empty rather than half full. He would see the dark lining in every silver cloud, and that's just the way that old Thomas was. And there are people in our day, and they are just skeptical. They are just cynical. And my thought to you, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Because when you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, He gives you hope. He gives you promise. He gives you vision, not just to see what is, but to see what He would like to do through your situations. Now, as we study the testimony of doubting Thomas, he's mentioned three other times in the Gospels. Here's what we see every single time that you find Thomas. He's always skeptical. He's always negative. And he's always cynical. You say, where do you say this? John 11. Remember, Lazarus is sick. His two sisters send for Jesus. Hey, you got to come and help out our brother Lazarus. Well, Jesus waits there a couple days before he comes. And then when he tells the disciples, hey, we're going down to Bethany to see our friend Lazarus who is sick. The disciples remind him, Jesus, don't you remember that the Jews tried to stone you last time that we were there? Well, Thomas pipes up, John chapter 11, verse 16. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. That's Thomas. He's negative. He's cynical. He's going to see the worst case scenario in every situation. You go to John chapter 14. Jesus has just told the disciples that he's going away to prepare a place for them in heaven. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Jesus says, John chapter 14, verse 4, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Well, I can see Thomas raising his hand and saying, oh, but Jesus, verse 5, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. He just had a gloomy nature. He had the skeptical mind. Doubt is this, and I want to challenge all of you today. It's a swinging bridge between faith and will you trust God or unbelief. God cannot be trusted. And that's the situation. I don't know what your scenario is, but it's a swinging bridge. Are you going to trust God through this situation? Or are you going to question God through this situation? Faith says, I believe. Doubt says, I'm not so sure. Faith says, I trust God completely. Doubt says, I don't know if you can trust God in this situation. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus takes this doubting Thomas, this skeptical Thomas, this pessimistic Thomas, and he radically transforms his life. And if you have your hanky today, I hope you'll use it. He turns the skeptic into a shouter. I'm the only one in the place using my hanky as normal. I feel right at home. Hey, he turns the skeptic into a shouter. And he wants to do that for you today. He wants whatever your situation, and you're saying, oh, I'm going to live with this for the rest of my life. Not if Jesus shows up, and not if throughout Scripture He says, be it unto you according to your faith. Your challenge, your trial, your difficulty. What would Jesus like to do in that situation? Three scenes in the life of Doubting Thomas. A sermon I've entitled, Without a Doubt. First scene is this. Notice the concern of Thomas. So get the picture. The disciples have convened the evening of the first Easter Sunday. John the Beloved is convinced Jesus is alive and well. The other disciples are not so convinced. Look at verse 24. Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. This was the first Sunday night service in the history of the church. Thomas was absent. For a week, the other disciples, they're high-fiving. They're praising God because Jesus was alive. They had seen Him and they had heard Him. But not Thomas. Thomas missed it. And because he missed Jesus, he was wandering around in the wilderness of doubt. The only other disciple that wasn't there was Judas. So one was the denier, one was the betrayer. Whenever, and let me just push on you a little bit. Whenever you're able to go to church and you don't, you're weakening your faith and you're strengthening your doubts. Jesus is going to show up when you're in church. And so, hey, you need to make church a priority every opportunity you get. So you show me someone who does not go to church regularly, I'll show you two things. A weak believer or a lost believer. You say, are you saying it's important that I go to church? I'm saying it is vitally important that you go to church and you take your family to church, because if they're going to grow in their faith, one of the ways they're going to do that is by being in the fellowship of believers and hearing God's word expounded. So I implore you today, don't miss church. When we were growing up, we didn't have a choice if we were going to go to church. My brother got this idea. My brother and I shared a room for a lot of years. He says, I'm not going to church today. I'm going to tell mom and dad I'm sick. So I just kind of looked at my brother like, good luck to that. So my brother goes downstairs, and he didn't even bother him because mom would have just sent him to dad. He goes to dad and says, Dad, I'm just not feeling good today. I don't think I'm going to be able to go to church. My dad, not missing a beat, he goes over there, pulls the trash can out of the cupboard, and walks over there and says, throw up and prove it. If my brother would have ever thrown up and proved it, my dad would have said, don't you feel a whole lot better now? We're going to church. Because he believed church is good to strengthen your faith and to starve your doubts. So many times, we're going through hard times. We're going through discouraging times. We're going through overwhelming times. And we say, oh, I don't need church. I'm just going to withdraw. I'm just going to stay home, and I'm going to mope. And what's happening? Your faith is weakening, and your doubts are strengthening. Thomas was a doubter. He needed the faith the size of a mountain to move a mustard seed. Old Thomas was believing his doubts, and he was doubting his beliefs. Look at verse 25. The disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Thank God for the other disciples who, when there was a brother that was out, went and said, hey, let's go love on our brother. Let's go encourage our brother. Let's go share Jesus with our brother. I wonder who we could have sitting with us in church next week if we would just go encourage some folks that are struggling. Thomas, he had every reason to believe in the resurrection. Look, you're in chapter 20. Look up at verse 9. He had the testimony of Scripture. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, but he must rise again from the dead. If Thomas would have just opened his Bible, he would have said, hey, prophecy predicts Jesus is going to come back from the dead 3 days later. He was biblically illiterate. That's why he was weak in his faith. That's why you should go to church. Thomas had the testimony of Scripture. He had the testimony of the disciples. Look at verse 20, chapter 20, verse 20. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So the other 10 disciples, they had saw Jesus 7 days previously. Thomas was absent. He was at home, pouting, depressed, discouraged. And he missed it. He had the testimony of Scripture. He had the testimony of the other disciples. He had the testimony of the empty tomb. The stone had been rolled away, and it was not there. There was plenty of reason for Thomas to get his hanky out and say, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. But he wasn't feeding his faith. He was feeding his doubts. Look down at verse 25. He gives this crude twofold test. Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Unbelief never fits on any page of the Bible. Same is true with your life. Can I very gently come into your situation? Some of you are saying, my marriage is never going to get any better. And you're looking through physical eyes. Some of you are saying, my kids, they're never going to come back to the Lord. You're looking through physical eyes. Some of you are saying, you don't know my job. I'm just stuck. I'm too close to retirement. Can't quit. But I'm going to have to deal with this job forever. You're looking through earthly eyes and not through the eyes of faith. Abraham asked this question in Genesis 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for God? And I would say, no, no, two double hands, no. There is nothing, nothing, nothing too hard for the Lord. Number one, the concern of Thomas. Number two, notice the correction of Thomas. Look at verse 26. After 8 days again, his disciples were within Thomas. His disciples were with him. And Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. So the disciples are having another meeting. And this time old Thomas is with them. Why was Thomas there? Because the disciples cared. Because the disciples went after him and said, hey, Thomas, we missed you. Thomas, we realize you're going through a tough time. Come on, you need to be back in the fellowship. Who do you know that has gotten discouraged and overwhelmed and depressed? And they need you to come put your arm around them and bring them back into the fold. Thomas was there the next Sunday because somebody cared for him. Somebody loved him. Now, I love this. Look at the verse. 8 days. Disciples are within. Thomas with them. Then came Jesus. The doors being shut. Imagine those doors. You can't get through that crack because all of us are too fat. And we have to open the door. Not Jesus. Jesus is in his glorified body. Jesus comes right through the door. Without swinging on his hinges, he just walks through the door. Hold on a second. The same thing that happened in chapter 20, verse 19. Why would Jesus repeat the same event that happened a week ago? One word. Thomas. All of us go through times of discouragement. Jesus doesn't scold Thomas. Jesus doesn't berate Thomas. Jesus doesn't shun Thomas. You see what he says? He comes and he says, "Peace be unto you." So if you're here and you're weighted down, if you're here and you're overwhelmed, if you're here and saying, "I don't know how I'm going to make it," Jesus comes and he's not beating you up. He's not scolding you. He comes and he says one word, "Peace. Peace be unto you." What is that stirring inside of you that you're fearful? That you're doubting? That you're saying, "I'm just going to live with this for the rest of my life." Jesus comes and he looks at you in the eye and he says, "Peace. Peace be unto you." Look at the next verse. Verse 27. "Then said he to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side.'" Thomas needed to be reestablished in the truths of Christ's death. What a lesson for us. When we have gone astray, when we have gotten overwhelmed with life, defeated and discouraged, you know what brings us back? The cross. The truth of Christ's death. It was the sight of his wounds that quenched Thomas's doubts. Remember that old song? "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and sacrifice them to his cross." Hey, when we go astray, what brings us back? The cross of Jesus. That's what brought Thomas back. Look what he says. Verse 27. "Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side." Next phrase. "Be not faithless, but believing." It's encouragement and it's a challenge. Hey, don't trust your doubts. Trust me. I don't know what you're going through. But our tendency is, "Well, the economy's bad. These tariffs, they're just not good. Hey, my company's not doing that great. How are we going to make it?" Don't put faith in your doubts. Put faith in your Savior. Shake off the habit of doubting. Shake off the habit of questioning everything. Shake off the habit of discrediting everyone and everything. Look what he says. "Be not faithless." What area of your life? You're crossing your hands and say, "It's just the way it is. That person's never going to change. We're just going to be stuck with this forever." I say to you, be not faithless, but believing. God, what would you like to do? God, this is an impossible situation when you're not in the equation. But oh, Lord Jesus, when you're in the equation, oh, you can change it. And let's start praying and let's start believing. Number two, the correction of Thomas. And this is for all my rowdy, hanky-waving folk. Me, myself, and I. Here we go. Number three, the celebration of Thomas. You talking about drastic makeover. He's a skeptic. He's a doubter. He's a complainer. He sees the, oh, we're never going to get out of it. He is the Eeyore of Winnie the Pooh before Eeyore ever was thought about. That's Thomas. But hold on a second. When he sees Jesus, when he sees the cross, he is transformed from a doubter to a shouter. Look what happens to him. Verse 28. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Just one look is all it took. He didn't even have to touch the Lord Jesus. He saw the nail prints in his hands. He saw the wound in his side. He gives the greatest confession found in all of the New Testament. From a doubter. When a person meets the crucified, risen Lord, his natural response is to say, my Lord and my God. Hold on a second. Do you realize what he was saying? My God, that sets Jesus on the throne of the universe. You will never find anyone other than Jesus calling himself God in the Gospels prior to this. He said, my God, you are on the throne of the universe. And then he said, my Lord, you're on the throne of my heart. Do you get that? You want to abolish your fears. Abolish your questions. Abolish your doubts. Put God in his rightful place. On the throne of the universe. And on the throne of your heart. Notice, if you want to get saved, Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thy heart, God's raising from the dead. You'll be saved. Hey, you want to go to heaven? You have to recognize Jesus as God. And you have to recognize him as your Lord. Vance Havner said this. Let a man get right about the lordship of Jesus. And he'll be right in every other issue in his life. Thomas, having seen those hands, seen those feet, seen the wound in his side, says, my Lord and my God. Notice, he's transformed in a moment from a doubter to a worshiper. And here's what I love. Jesus didn't kick him out for being pessimistic. Jesus comes and lovingly shows him the cross. What are you struggling with this morning? The answer is Jesus. The answer, he's alive and well. The answer, he's not in that grave anymore. He is on the throne in heaven, and he's here to help every situation in your life. He turns his failure into a time of faithfulness because he put his faith in Jesus. It's what grace always does. Remember the thief on the cross? Changed his life from a skeptic to a believer on the cross. That's what he did. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, they were skeptics at first, and they turned and they became believers. The celebration of Thomas, look at verse 29. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are, if you write in your Bible, circle that next word. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. You know who's the they he's talking about? You. Bless, oh Lisa. Hey, bless, oh Alton. He hasn't seen and he has believed. That's what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love. in whom, though you now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice. This is for all of the Baptists. With joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because you got faith to believe Jesus in the worst of situations. Testimony time. Remember Job? Job chapter 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, still, I'm going to trust him. That's what he's talking about here. Four lessons we learned today from Thomas, and I'm just going to read them to you quickly. Number one, don't be a skeptic. Don't be a Debbie Downer. Don't see the glass as half empty. With Jesus, Jesus, what do you want to do in this situation? Take it to the Lord in prayer. God, what would you have me to do for you in this scenario? Number one, don't be a skeptic. Number two, be patient with skeptics. Now, I'm the eternal optimist. I'm always going to be optimistic. But sometimes the negative people, the critical people, the complaining people, the downer people, I don't have time for them. Jesus had time for Thomas. Loved him. Cared for him. Was patient with him. Number two, be patient with skeptics. Number three, when going through times of doubt, when going through times of doubt, when going through times of doubt, and we all go through times of doubt, run to Jesus. Don't run away from him. Run to Jesus. If Thomas would have ran to Jesus, his faith would have been taken care of a week previously. But no. He listened to his doubts and he ran away from Jesus. Whatever it is, run to Jesus. Run to church. Run to your discipleship group. Run to your Sunday school class. Run to the Word. God, in this situation, what do you want to do? Number four, you defeat doubt by looking to Jesus. What trains this guy? The biggest cynic, the biggest negative person, the biggest doubter there was. And now, he's not like any of y'all. He's got a hanky. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive. What happened? Looked at Jesus. Got his eyes on the cross. So I come to you this morning. What's that impossible situation? I'm not asking you to believe in an outcome. I'm asking you to believe in a person. Jesus, I'm trusting you. Not putting faith in my fears. Not putting faith in my doubts. I'm trusting the risen Lord. That you're going to show yourself strong and you're going to be glorified through this ordeal. And here's what happened. Doubts will run and hide. Fear will vanish and Jesus will show up and he will be magnified. An atheist came to a Quaker. Asked the Quaker, do you believe in God? Quaker looked at him and said, of course I do. The atheist said, you ever seen God? Quaker said, no. He said, you ever felt God? Nope. You ever touched God? Quaker said, no. Atheist looked at him in the eye. What makes you think there is a God? Quaker just looked at that atheist. So let me ask you a question. You have a brain? Atheist says, I do. He said, you ever seen your brain? Atheist says, I haven't. He said, you ever felt your brain? Atheist says, I haven't. You ever touched your brain? He says, I haven't. He said, tell me, How do you know you have a brain? Friend, here's my question for you. Do you believe in God? If He's big enough to take you to heaven for all of eternity, He's big enough for you to trust Him right now in your ordeal. Satan's a liar. Satan's known as the accuser of the brethren. So when times get tough, he's not going to let up. He's going to pour on the accusations. And he's going to pour on the fear. And he's going to pour on the doubt. The remedy for that, you looking at Jesus. You running to Jesus. You clinging to Jesus because Jesus is more than able to help you in your time of need. What happened to this doubter? What happened to old Thomas? Well, there is a book called The Acts of Thomas. And after Christ's ascension, it documents that Thomas went to India to preach Jesus to those in India. The South India Church, if you've ever been there, and Tracy and I went there years ago, the South India Church literally traces its founding back to a former doubter who saw Jesus and put his faith in Jesus and started that church. What happened to Thomas? In India, they challenged him, you need to stop preaching Jesus and stop proclaiming Jesus as Lord. He wouldn't. He says, I cannot deny my Savior. And he who was a doubter, they ran him through with a javelin and killed him because he would not deny Jesus. The answer to what you're facing, the answer to your scenario is not you listening to your fears. The answer is running to Jesus, grabbing hold of that old rugged cross and saying, Jesus, I bring my burden and I lay it down at your feet. You place all things under your feet. I lay it down at your feet and I ask you for help in my time of need. And my friend, Jesus will show up for you.